This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. The Board of Directors of Milwaukee Public Schools meets this evening and is expected to begin the process of replacing outgoing Superintendent Gregory Thornton. Thornton was named on Monday as the new CEO of the public school system in Baltimore. MPS is expected to name an interim superintendent to lead the district until a search yields a new leader. Thornton had been in the top job at MPS since 2010 after serving in leadership roles for a variety of districts on the East Coast. Alan Borsuk is senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and former education writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us now to talk about the past and future of leadership at MPS. Nice to have you here.
Always glad to be here.
Were you surprised in any way by the news that Gregory Thornton is leaving Milwaukee?
Yes and no. Frankly, since about 5 minutes after he arrived here in 2010, there's been rumors that he was going to leave. And it seemed like he'd settled in a little bit more. So my standard answer the last few months has been, I think he's here for a while, but if I opened up my email and it said he's leaving, I wouldn't be surprised. So I opened up my email Saturday night and there was a rumor that he was about to leave, which turned out to be true.
Right. This was not the first time that his name had been mentioned in connection with other districts, just the first time that it actually turned out to pan out.
No one knows really quite what happened in some of those other situations, but this one obviously there was substance to, because now he's been named the CEO of Baltimore Schools.
Before we look ahead, I wonder, could you reflect on the last 3.5 years? Thornton took office at a time that got very interesting politically in Wisconsin. How did his time at MPS affect the district's lot in these first years of a Republican-led legislature and the Walker administration?
I'd go back one step further, that the time he was named was when there was a bid by Governor Doyle to create mayoral control of Milwaukee Public Schools, and the board rushed to name him. Frankly, I thought at that time this was a very unpromising situation because they were really kind of rushing to forestall the mayoral control bid, which, of course, never got off the ground. And I would say I was wrong, that Thornton was a much bigger time superintendent. He was a much more formidable figure in the job than I had feared when he was named. So he was a major figure in the last several years in setting the tone of MPS and setting the tone of education discussions in general in the city. And there's certain things I would point to as real accomplishments by him. One of them would be that the business of MPS is in much better shape now than it was when he came. And that, of course, leads you into the whole subject of Scott Walker and Act 10, because he was taking advantage of the ways of saving, and especially in the long-term saving of cutting commitments to retirees that will rebound to MPS's favor in the long run.
So these are what Scott Walker called the tools that
yes.
he was giving.
Well, and no one would say this publicly, and Greg Thornton would never say this publicly, but no one had more to gain out of this statewide than Greg Thornton did, because MPS was the biggest school district around. It took him a couple years to get there because of a labor contract that was in force. But the business is in pretty good shape. He certainly pushed to change the academics and the success academically. Frankly, there hasn't been too much evidence of progress on that, and he keeps saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I don't know.
Did the business have to improve before they could legitimately take on the academics?
I don't know if it had to improve before, but it had to improve. They were financially, they were heading towards a really quite formidable and ominous cliff, and there's just no other way to look at it. So that was important. I think he was frustrated. I mean, why would he take a job that is really a very lateral move at the age of 59? The Baltimore situation is very similar to Milwaukee in almost every measure, the size of the district, the problems they're facing, the test scores, the pay that he's getting is almost exactly the same. Why would he take this job? There's two reasons I can think of. One is he did want to go back to that part of the country. He's from Philly. His whole orientation, he's like Mr. Philly. And Baltimore is just a little hop from Philadelphia. Still a lot of family out that way. But the other is that he was frustrated here, I think. He never said that publicly, but I feel pretty confident saying that. He was frustrated by the board. He was frustrated by the general inertia and of change in Milwaukee, that, that things he wanted to get done couldn't get done. He said to me a number of months ago that he thought things were changing here as fast as they could change, but wasn't as fast as he wished they could change. And I think ultimately, especially with some recent developments, he just saw more frustration ahead on that score. Baltimore, mayoral, state joint control, a different teacher contract, some different dynamics. I think he sees that as a chance to push some of the things he wants to do.
It seems significant that the title of the job in Baltimore is CEO and the title of the job here is superintendent. Much different connotations for those jobs.
I'm not sure how much that actually plays out in practical effect, but it is that does say something, that he's more running the operation, that he's the guy in charge. The school board there is all subject to the approval of the mayor and the governor. That makes it a little more of a political situation, of course, as far as the legislature and so on. But it also frees him up from some of the pressures he had here from a school board that remains largely oriented towards teachers' union-type positions, even without the union having nearly the power it once had.
To go back to an earlier point you were making, is there a certain legitimacy or stability maybe that Greg Thornton re-bestowed on the district in the eyes of either the legislature or the rest of the state, frankly?
He's a good politician. And I don't say that slightingly, because that's an important part of any superintendent's job. So his relationship overall with the legislature, including the Republicans, including the governor, was really pretty good. In fact, it may have been too good in the eyes of a number of board members. His relationship with the business community and the philanthropic community in Milwaukee was really pretty good. And a lot of these are people who are not going to be happy about seeing him leave, because they don't have much faith that the system left to its own will change very much. And that's one of the really, really interesting things at this point is what, if anything, are they going to do about that? Because a lot of these people would like to pounce on MPS, but there's a big gap between wanting to do that and figuring out how to do that.
Well, so then let's look ahead, and one imagines that MPS needs to act with all due haste to have somebody in place. In the short run, they're going to have to name an interim superintendent. You have already tweeted your theory about who that person right. is, and I am ashamed to say I wasn't on Twitter at the time that happened. So you're going to have to fill me in.
You're not paying attention to Twitter? Yes. Well, it's just not my endorsement or anything. Just my own guess looking at it that they're going to make a choice, I assume, at a special meeting tonight, Wednesday night, because they do need someone in charge. You just can't leave someone – you can't leave the system headless. And Thornton's deputy, by the way, is someone he was very, very tight with, who I'm sure will go with him. They were a pair. They're almost like co-superintendents in my mind. So she'll be off the scene as well. His administrative assistant, who was very powerful. What I suggested today was that Keith Posley, who's kind of the head of all the principals, the head of the administrative education arm of the district is a likely choice. There'd be a couple others. It'll be someone internal, I'm sure. Karen Jackson, who's the HR chief, perhaps. Tina Flood, who's the chief academic officer. But I'd put my money on Keith. He's a former principal. He's got a lot of presence. He's a real strong guy. He's well-spoken. And they might want to even give him a little bit of a try to see how he does as a candidate for superintendent. That said, it's generally been a curse to be the acting superintendent or the interim superintendent as far as chances of getting the job.
And in terms of the timing of this announcement and the time that the interim superintendent will be in place, is there any particular main focus that an interim person is going to have to take? Are there any real issues that are going to crop up on his or her watch?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that can't wait. They're just heading right now into budget season, and budget season is always a stress. It is not a state budget season. This is an off year for the state budget, so the rules of the game aren't going to change as much as they would in an odd-numbered year. But they've got between now and the end of May or start of June to set a budget for next year. And the superintendent is the guy in charge of overseeing that. There's lots of decisions to be made. Thornton had just proposed a plan for low-performing schools, which the school board had pretty clearly not been happy with. But something has to be done. There's decisions on charter schools coming up. Just running the business, you got to keep the ship sailing, and that's a difficult job. So there's plenty for an interim to do. The timetable on this for picking a superintendent could be anything from a few months to a year. It depends on how they go about it. I assume they'll hire a headhunter and they'll have a national search. I doubt they'll do anything in a hurry. I have no prediction on how good a field they'll be for the job.
Well, and as the search starts, it should be noted there are not many districts out there that are very similar in nature to MPS, are there? I mean, that is, unless they hire someone from MPS, it would be tough to find someone with experience running a district just like MPS.
Well, the Milwaukee situation is among the more complex in the country because of the voucher program and the charter schools, the very large number of kids going to suburban schools. Only 60% of kids in Milwaukee who are getting publicly funded education are getting it in the conventional Milwaukee public school system. So that makes it a more complicated job politically and in terms of certain moves you make to try to get kids to come to MPS, which is a huge imperative for them. That's another factor. They're just going into their enrollment period now, and I don't know if anyone cares whether there's uncertainty at the top. Probably not too much, but it's another factor. So, no, they'll find people. Frankly, they're paying him $260,000 a year, and lots of people would like a $260,000 a year job.
You going to throw your hat in the ring?
No. That I can guarantee you that's not going to happen for about 500 really compelling reasons.
Well, let me just ask this. I mean, if Alan Borsuk were heading the search committee, what are the credentials or the traits that would be most important on your list for the next superintendent?
Well, they probably don't match the ones that the board is going to set. Someone who's really a forceful, appealing, strong leader, which Thornton had many of those traits. Someone who can really inspire people, and especially who can inspire the people within the system, the principals, the teachers. I think that's one area where Thornton was not strong. His relationship with his principals was, best as I know, fairly troubled, and I don't think they had done very much, at least much that really amounted to a really strong plan to recruit and build up new principals. So I'd want someone who can not only be a leader but can bring in leaders and groom leaders. And I would like someone, this is where I might disagree with the board, who will play well with everybody, because I think that's in the real interest of Milwaukee, is for all schools to thrive. Nobody's going away, you know. People want to kill each other out there between the different silos of schools. But the voucher schools aren't going away. The charter schools aren't going away. MPS isn't going away. I'd like someone who can really be an advocate for all kids doing well and for what needs to be done to make that so.
Given the odds at which the superintendent and the board have found themselves, would you expect the board to then look for an un-Greg Thornton?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Thornton, I think in the eyes of the majority of the board, was too friendly to some of the non-conventional MPS alternatives like independent charter schools and charter schools not staffed by MPS teachers. And that climate around the charter school issue has gotten increasingly heated recently. The atmosphere at a couple recent school board meetings where the auditorium, which holds 300 people, was generally packed, was really pretty hostile to those kind of ideas. So I don't know if they're going to be very friendly to the charter operators in town the way Greg Thornton was.
It seems, maybe this is an obvious point, that the issues that will be facing the next superintendent might be different depending on how long it takes to get the next superintendent in place.
Well, you got an election this fall.
that was the implication.
And you got another state budget coming now, a year from now, the first 6 months of 2015. If Governor Walker's reelected and if there's Republican majorities in both houses, You're going to see a lot of pressure to increase vouchers, probably statewide. There's still, you know, the charter folks have struck out in the legislature repeatedly, but someday they may succeed in getting a more expansive charter school creation law in the state. School funding will be up next year. Heading into next year, MPS would be well served to have someone who's a good lobbyist, who's good at building relationships with political figures up there in both parties, no matter who wins the governorship. And if the Republicans control the legislature, you're going to see more push for change. We have the legislature and the governorship. You're going to see more of these kind of reforms that the MPS board is fighting.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow this process as it moves forward.
I'm never bored.
Well, Alan Borsak, thanks so much.
Glad to be here.
Alan Borsak is Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School. He talked with us about the upcoming search for a new superintendent at Milwaukee Public Schools. Current Superintendent Gregory Thornton was named this week to lead the Baltimore School District. A quick break now, and then a glimpse inside a little-known Milwaukee treasure, the American Geographical Society Library, housed at UW-Milwaukee. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.